for trusting? Would you trust and pray with me? Will you not be one of those? Let's not be like the children of Israel who would just complain and say, well, what's going to happen? And don't be a complainer. Be this, saying, Lord, thank you for opening doors for the church. Thank you for amazing this little body. Thank you for your amazing power. That's what I believe is going to happen. Through this process, I'm going to say that there's been a few times where the Lord has spoke that. And then, you know, he would speak that, and then, you know, we can get off track a little bit. And so in this last time when he spoke to me, when he kept me up in prayer and said, go to this specific scripture, and he spoke to my heart, it was like he finally said, Chad, that's the Lord disciplining me, saying, that's enough. Trust me. Would you trust God with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We love you, Lord. Man, he's faithful. In the times, how many enjoyed, it was just this last Sunday that Brad was here. Who enjoyed Brad and Selena here? I thought that was amazing. Powerful word. Love them. I'm looking forward to having them back here in the future, next year, or whatever that looks like. And so I've kind of been looking at this thing about, you know, we have about the devil and God, the devil, amen, the God of this world, and the God of gods, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So we've been looking at authority. We talked a little bit, remember, talked about how Satan, how God hasn't created any evil thing. We look at the scripture, how Satan was this angelic being that was perfect in his ways, and how he decided to rebel against God. And through scriptures, we kind of ascertain that he took a third of the angels with him and came to the earth when he was cast out of heaven, amen? And now Lucifer is the father of all lies. He's a liar. He's a thief. He is totally opposed to God in everything he does. He's the little g, the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're not here to glorify Satan by any way, shape, or form, but we need to know that we do have an enemy, amen? We do need to know that there's somebody who opposes God, and therefore you and I, made in his image and made in his likeness, he opposes you and I. He's one that all he's looking to do is to deceive people and to take as many people as he can to hell. Let me just say this, the hell was not prepared for people. What's the word of God say? It says that hell, the lake of fire, was prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. God is not some kind of cruel God that he's looking to cast people in hell. Oh, on the contrary, that's why Jesus came and bled and gave his life for you and I. Amen. And then we talked about how when everybody's born, remember we showed that picture, if you're here, of the Adams family? Everybody's born to the Adams family. You remember that show, The Adams Family? And so everybody is born into sin. Everybody's born in the Adams family. We're talking about the first Adam who fell. And then it talked about Jesus Christ being the second Adam who lived a perfect life. Amen? And so when we give our life to Jesus and we get this born-again spirit, amen, we become children of Abraham, children, brothers and sisters of Christ is what it says. Therefore, we move from the Adams family into Abraham's family, who received a promise that he said, you'll be the father of many nations, amen, not just Israel, but what we know now means all those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And so the first few things as we get going here, so I don't keep you here too long, right? We don't want to be here past, what, 12:30? So I want to, if I had to put a title on today's message, it would be Looking to True Authority. Looking to True Authority. Some things I wanted to mention and have a little fun with first is, you know, we talk about God's power or what he is, and we have, I notice in the NFL, if you are any sports, they have these power rankings. You ever seen those if you're into sports? So, you know, football, I don't know, probably right now, number one is Kansas City, right? Number two could probably, but I'm going to say one thing here, and that's it. I don't care where they rank the Cowboys by the end of the season, and they get in the playoffs, it doesn't even matter, right? They don't. It doesn't matter where they rank them, right? Nothing's going to happen good there. So with that, can we move on? Sounds like a broken record. So we have these power rankings, don't we? And sometimes at the beginning of the year, they'll say, hey, you know, based upon last year, a lot of times, or acquisitions or different things for football, baseball, whatever, hockey, all of them, they'll have these power rankings. You know, with God in the world that we live in and who he is in this universe, there is no power rankings within this world. Did you know that? This is it. God is omnipotent. So here's one thing. God is omnipotent, meaning all powerful. God is all powerful. It says in Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. If you're taking notes, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? It's the same thing I mentioned last Wednesday. Remember when Jesus came down with his disciples from the Mount Transfiguration, and the disciples that weren't up at the Mount with him were trying to cast out a spirit, and so they couldn't do it. And so when Jesus came and all his disciples and the boy's father was there, he was saying to them, he said, hey, if you can help my son, would you help him? And what did Jesus said? He said all things are possible to him that believes. And then the father of that boy said, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. So we have in the book of Jeremiah where he says, nothing is too difficult for me. And then we have Jesus saying, all things are possible to him that believes. And then Satan, the dragon, as they call him in Revelation, the dragon is not all powerful. Do you know that? Now, he has power over the nations to deceive, right? He's a deceiver, the father of all lies. We had talked about last week and even the previous time I spoke that his power really is based upon deception. Amen? If he has power over you in certain areas where you're defeated, well then you're defeated. And we mentioned this, if every person on this earth was truly a born-again believer walking in what God has for them, what power would we see of Satan being displayed? It would be pretty much zero. See, the things that we see, even as an example, the awful things in human trafficking that God hates, those things are being done by people that are being used by Satan. That isn't God. That's not God's will, but that's people being used by the enemy to destroy lives. See, the power is his deception. Many people are fearful of the enemy, or they'll say, be careful, you know, be careful what you're doing because the enemy's on your back. He's going to be coming after you. Well, if you're walking with the Lord, let me just give you this newsflash. He's always after you. He's always trying to deceive you. He's always trying to discourage you. And many people who remain discouraged, it's not because the enemy has any power over their lives. It's because a lie has become lodged within their mind and in their soul realm to be discouraged, be based upon some kind of lie in their life. God's not going to help me in this situation. Or I got myself in this mess, so I have to get myself out. I've tried this before, but nothing happened. So these lies that we tell ourselves or the enemy tells us will keep us under the foot of the enemy, the lies. And so what Jesus says, he's a liar and he's a father of all lies. When he opens his mouth, the enemy, he may have a little truth in it, but it's always laced with a lie. It's always laced with a lie. So he tries to speak to us. What's he trying to convince the world? God isn't love. God doesn't care. God's not looking out for anybody. Oh, on the contrary, him giving his son, he's waiting for people to come to him. He's done everything he's going to do. He's waiting for people to humble themselves and submit their lives, therefore, to Christ. Amen? So that he can give them victory in their lives. So the dragon is not all powerful. He has power over the deceptions of the nations. Adam was given authority and he gave it up. Remember, we talked about the Adam's family. He gave it up. He had all authority on this earth. He named the animals, right? They said he named the animals. He said, the earth is yours, Adam, to subdue. So before Adam and Eve fell, the Lord belonged to God, but he gave the authority to Adam and Eve. Did you know that? And then when Adam and Eve fell, then what? Man's being a perfect being, fell, and they gave authority over to Satan, where he became the god of this world. Let me just say this, that when Jesus rose from the grave and you were part of the Adam's family, amen, that you of Adam fallen, then Jesus being the second Adam rose, right, it lived his life in perfection, and you give your life to him. Like we said, you become part of God's family. We're going to talk about it. Then he gives authority back to you and I. Did you know he gives authority back to you and I? Why would Jesus say, I will cause you, or you shall trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? That's a lot of power, isn't it? But how do we get there? So number one, we have this thing, omnipotent. God is all powerful. Satan isn't all powerful at all. He's a single being. Number, the point B on that. So number one is point one is the might of God. Under that A, power rankings, we talked about all power being God's. B is, how about IQ rankings? IQ rankings. And a story, I was reading a story about a guy named Adrigan, I think his name is Eastwood DeMello. Adrigan Eastwood DeMello. And it was said that he had an IQ of 400. That's high, right? That's high, 400. The highest IQ of anybody they said that they've ever known as far as in modern history. This young man, he was a young man, this Adrigan, however you say his name. By the time he was 10 years old, he had graduated from a school like USC with a degree in mathematics. At 10 years old, could you imagine that? And so his dad would always push him, and so he went right into college and excelling in, you know, photographic memory. If he'd see it once, it was in his mind forever. They'd put these big math equations, and as a 10, 11, 12 year old boy, he'd just go up there and he could just figure that equation out. 400, and so considered maybe the smartest man that ever walked the earth as far as what they know as measuring as far as an IQ test. And but here's the problem. Let me just tell the rest of the story. As he grew a little bit older, he started having struggles, and he wanted to quit just going to school, and he wanted to start playing with his friends, and he started wanting to be just a normal boy. And so by the time he was 20 years old, he had dropped out of the scene completely. And he said, I just want to be normal. I don't want to be the smartest man in the world. He says, I want to just hang out with my friends and have fun and do the things that a regular teenager would do. Matter of fact, this young man is still alive, but he's fallen off completely off the radar. He doesn't want anybody knowing what he's doing. He doesn't want anybody knowing where he's at. He just wants to live a normal life. So a person right there, as being as smart as he was, still felt the pressure that it wasn't enough. But you and I have a father, talking about IQ and smart, that says in 1 John 3:20, says that if our hearts condemn us, that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. As you know, there is, our God knows all things. You think of an IQ of 400, that really is nothing, isn't it? So if God knows all things, this is what I love about God, all things. So that we're talking about omniscient, meaning all-knowing. If he knows all things with yours and my life, did you know he knows the beginning to the end? Did you know he knows all things? He knows the future. You ever seen those movies where you can go to the future and they try to change it? I'm so glad that when I gave my heart to the Lord, that he changed my future. That he can reach into the future and change things in my life. He knows all things. He's the one that created heaven and earth on 6 days. He's the one that took his fingers and flung the skies into the universe. We're talking about somebody who knows all things. So we're talking about somebody all powerful. What else is he's all knowing? Is there anything that God doesn't know? He knows all things. Sometimes we'll talk to him and speak to him, things going on in our lives, and we will talk to him like, well, Just because you don't know all things, just because you don't know what's coming, you are serving the one that does know all things that are coming. What's that mean? I can put my trust in him. There's no ranking God. There's not a close second on who's smart and as smart as him. The dragon is not all-knowing. Matter of fact, he is blind to the truth, blinded by his hate, his pride, and jealousy of God. God is all-knowing. Our enemy is not all-knowing. What is his mate? What is his tool? Deception. Deception. So what's the next thing? What's the next thing? So we have there. So that would be omniscient. The next thing is omnipresent. Used to think about the British Empire. You remember, if you know anything about history, it said that the sun never set on the British Empire. Have you heard that before? Influence in every part of the earth at one time did the British Empire. That's not the case anymore. That's not the case anymore, but there's one who can be everywhere at one time. Amen. That's God. He's the one that is omnipresent. Where Psalms 139:7-8 says this: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. God is everywhere at once. Omnipresent, meaning present everywhere at all times. Satan can only be at one place at one time. Did you know that? He may have his hordes. We talked about principalities and powers and demons. He may have his hordes, his army. But Satan can only be at one place at one time. He's limited in his power. He's limited on all his power. He doesn't all have all power. He's limited in his IQ, and he's limited in where he can be. But our God, what, is all powerful. Amen. He's all knowing, and he can be everywhere at once by the Holy Spirit. So while you and I are having church here, amen, sitting here in the presence of God, there's other churches in this area, in this world, where the presence of God is touching people's heart right now. And he's doing that without even breaking a sweat. His spirit hovers over the whole earth. There's no place that you can hide from him. There's no place you can go that he's not there. There's no struggle you're having where he doesn't see it. Our God is all powerful. All-knowing, and he's everywhere. We have a God that has no limit in his power, no limit in his understanding. Amen, amen, and amen. And let me mention that on that. So that point one being the might of God. Number two, the dragon lost his authority to Jesus, the second Adam. Let me say that again. You know this. The dragon lost his authority to Jesus, the second Adam. Did you hear what I said? I want to say that one more time. The dragon lost his authority to Jesus, the second Adam. Colossians 2:14-15 says this. This is Jesus having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. That's the law, by the way. That's the law. Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Did you know the law of God is hostile to your flesh? Because your flesh can't follow it. You ever tried in your own strength to be pleasing to God? Did you notice that your flesh is hostile to the perfection of God? To his law? You ever notice that your flesh says, I don't want to do that? Did you know your flesh will never want to do those things? That's why it says that we're crucified with Christ. Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when he had disarmed, listen to this is powerful, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him by the cross. Disarm the enemy towards you. Means he can't hold you under his power. When you give your life to him and his blood washes your sins away, his blood washes your sins away. Satan can't say, oh, I'm not giving permission there. He can't. There's nothing he can do about it. When you give your life to Christ and his Holy Spirit comes to live in you, there is nothing the devil can do about it but watch. He'll take on a new thing and say, well, if I can't stop them from their salvation, I'll see where I can deceive them. where I can think, where they can think that they have no power. So he disarmed the enemy. What do you mean by disarm the enemy? Were the things where he could point at people and say, I've got you, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no power within yourself to be holy. There's no power within yourself to be righteous. It says our righteousness is as filthy rags. There was nothing. We were born in the Adam's family, and there was nothing we could do about it. In the spiritual realm, we were just ugly. But when we become born again in him, and we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and we are the sons of Abraham, amen, we are joint heirs with Christ, there's nothing that Satan can do about that. You belong to him. You're born again, and you belong to Jesus. He lost all authority to keep you bound in sin. He lost all authority to keep you bound in depression. He lost all authority in those areas of your life, if you want it, if you realize it, and if you take it. See, he says, I have given you authority over all snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Point three, then, how do we see this new authority? It's called with new eyes. New eyes. With new eyes. Let me just stop there. I want to say that because recently we had a grandson. And so he was a month Friday, but when I first saw him, he was just a newborn babe, and his eyes weren't open. He tried. He's like, wow, it's bright. I'm going to keep these shut for a while. In a few more weeks, he'd be like looking a little bit and then shutting. And then a month later, I noticed he's got his eyes open more, but he still doesn't have his eyes open. Here's what I'm saying, that how does Satan lose his authority, become born again? God, Jesus Christ, through God the Father and the Holy Spirit, gives you new eyes to see. He gives you new eyes to see. See, and then it's like when you're newborn in Christ, let me just say this, it's you see things, but you don't see nothing to what God wants you to see as you grow in him. You're a newborn babe, so your eyes just open a little bit. You've got that faith, and you're rambunctious for God, but as you walk with him, he'll continue to open your eyes to the things of the spiritual world, continue to open your eyes to the things that God wants to do in you and through you. But sometimes people will stay babes. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, about those who are born again, but they're still babes in Christ. He says, I have to keep giving you milk. I can't give you any solid food. So what it is their eyes don't open up very much, and they stay there. You can stay there your entire life. Be born again. Know the Lord. But have eyes that aren't really opening. You notice that new babe, that little boy or girl, as they begin to age and their eyes open. Like right now, I think at a month, I don't think my little grandson can see that far. Right? When you become born again in Christ, we really don't see that far. But as we grow in him, as he reveals himself to us, he opens our eyes more and more. We see more of his goodness. We see more of his grace. We see more of his power and victory in our life. We see who we are in him. He begins to open our eyes to see who we are in him. Amen. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this, and if then you have been raised with Christ. Anybody in here been raised with Christ? You either have or you haven't. There's no middle ground. You've either been raised with Christ or you have not. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things. Here we go. We're going to talk about seeing. See the things, or seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It says, set your mind. Let me keep you awake for a few minutes. It says, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So meaning died, that our old man has died, amen. That old Adam spiritually died, and the new man in Christ Jesus, we get a brand new spirit in him. So we are supposed to be dead to those things of the past, meaning we see things with a new eyes. We see things spiritually. We don't just see things in the carnal. We begin to see things spiritually. We begin to see things as God sees them. And as we walk with him, our eyes begin to open more and more. So little Henry, he can't see very far right now. I'll call his name, and he's looking, and he's like, I hear something, but I can't see it yet. But next month, he's going to see a little bit further. And then as time goes on, he's going to see into the. He's going to see better and better. It's the same thing spiritually. As we grow in him, as we are looking at him spiritually, we begin to see things more and more and more. We begin to see the lies and the ploys of the enemy. The things that we used to think were foolishness before, all of a sudden the Lord Jesus opens our eyes and we see those things as truth, knowing that the God of this world and his deception of people, we begin to see those things. We see things with spiritual eyes, and those that don't know the Lord, they're still blind, so they don't see it. So it says that they mock you or don't understand or think you're weird or whatever. It's because their eyes have not been opened yet. Those that we even post politically, here's the thing that you got to think about. Their eyes have not been opened yet. And I hope there'll be one. They'll be like the Apostle Paul, who had been a part of murdering somebody and had dragged many people off to jail. But when he had that experience, Jesus Christ, what? His eyes were opened. And all of a sudden he says, hey, those things which I used to think were foolishness, now my eyes have been opened and I see them clearly. And now I see who God is in me and what he wants to do in this world through me. Don't we serve a good Father? If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden in Christ with God. And let me read, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. You got to hang with me for a few more minutes. So when you think we've been raised with Christ, to seek those things that are above. And what do you mean though? What do you mean by those things that are above? Let's go to Matthew 6, 31. We're going to talk about what Jesus says. Matthew 6, 31. This is in the ESV. Matthew 6, 31. It says, therefore, do not be anxious. Can you say anxious? Does anybody here like anxiety? No. I avoid it at all cost. I do. Because it tears your body up. It tangles your mind. It causes people to not be able to sleep. It causes people not to be able to think. It causes people to just worry. It petrifies people of fear. Therefore, do not be anxious, Jesus says, saying about these things. These are the things of the world. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He knows what our needs are, amen? Doesn't mean we don't work. I mean, no, we work hard, but we also know that he's the one that provides the opportunities. We know that he's the one that leads and guides us. We know he's the one that wants us to share with others in need. Amen? It's a focus on this world. If this is what I notice, if your focus is just on making a living here and you constantly worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to sleep, and what you wear, you'll never get your eyes open very much. They'll stay just, you'll just hear voices and wonder what that is. Your eyes won't ever be clearly open to see what God would have you to see. So in this world, we know what people, they walk on this earth, and what is it that they do from the day they're born, you're taught, to the day you die? Hey man, you got to work. You got to make. You've got to store. And then you die. Isn't that the truth? This is what I learned with through Christ, that my eyes will be open working. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Give. Help. Encourage. Look at people like I do. Encourage people like I do. Looking for the hurting. Looking for those in need. Look for those that are in need. But when we, our eyes are not open and we're just of this world, it's, I gotta focus on what I'm gonna eat. Most of us don't need to focus on that, right? Most of us are doing quite well there. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? So our focus is on all those things. And then, like they say, would you ever seen anybody who died has a what is it called, a hearse following them? Or U-Haul following them? Amen. No. Let's continue here. Give me a few more minutes. Let's continue. Let's listen. Let's press in a little bit. For the Gentiles, it says in Matthew 32, 34, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Man, if we could just focus on today. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I said we could just focus on these things today. It's God, if this is the thing, is God open, as you grow in him maturity. Now as you get a little bit older, you notice that toddler can see, but it still doesn't see all that great. Bumping into things. Right? Trying to touch things, and that burns to begin to learn obedience, right? Here's an obedience thing. When you touch something that's hot, and you say, that's hot, and you say, I'm not going to do that again. Amen. So as a child begins to grow up, they don't really see what's around them. Even as a, did you notice the teenagers don't see anything, right? Sorry, I've seen it. Or even you may be saying about your husband, hey, that open the pantry again, it's right there. No, lay my hand in the Bible, it's not there. It is right there. You know, in walking with him spiritually, the Lord wants to continue to, he wants us to open our eyes more and more. Let me ask you this, where you're at in your walk with the Lord, do you think the Lord wants to open your eyes more? That you would see things as he sees them? See, it says to set your mind on things above. And how do we set those things, our mind, you know? It's really not difficult. It's really not hard. We can talk about these things. It's amazing sometimes. I'll get there in a second. I want to get ahead of myself. But how do we set our minds on things above? And I can't see him, but I'm connected to him by the Holy Spirit. I have authority through him, amen, to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But you know, the first thing is you know this, I'm sure, and if you don't know, let me just say this. We activate our walk with him by faith. We make a good confession. This is how a good confession looks. I belong to Jesus. He died for me. He was risen from the grave. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and I believe that with all my heart. He's my Lord and Savior. He lives inside me. My heart's desire is to walk with him hand in hand. My desire is to grow in him. My desire in him is to have a godly relationship, a godly marriage. My desire to him is to be a good friend. My desire is to the giftings and the abilities that God has placed within me, that those things are going to come forth, however those things are going to look. We activate those things by our faith and making a good confession. Let me ask you this. Are you making a good confession? Learning, or do you have this, or I've been here that this confession where you know the Lord, then the next day you're saying, where is God? Where is he? If he's for me, then why is this going on? That's called a bad confession. It means that we're saying something that's a lie that the enemy says. We're agreeing with the enemy. And then what happens if we're not careful, our eyes can begin to shut. We begin to get fuzzy on those things. We begin to focus on our problem. When we continue to make a good confession, saying, Lord, I'm regardless of what's going on around me, I'm in it for the long haul. I want my eyes to be open, Lord. I want to see things the way you see them, Lord. I want to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Amen. Say, so we activate our faith, we make a good confession. Here's number two. Know he wants to lead our lives. He wants to bless us. Know that he wants to lead you. There's many people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I just doubt he wants to lead my life. Meeting with an individual here a few days ago, and it's amazing what the enemy can convince us of. This individual told me, man, I just feel like an imposter. Man, the guy's got an amazing business, but what's the enemy convinced him of? No, you're just an imposter. The guy's a great musician. God uses him in different areas, but he has this voice, his lying voice, that says, nah, you shouldn't be up there. You're an imposter. See, that's an example of the lies of the enemy. So what happens is he believes that, and his eyes begin to close. And he doesn't see the love that God has for him. He doesn't see how God would want to use him. He doesn't see how God would want to bless him because he's believed a lie. Here's the truth. Satan is an imposter. Everything he says is a lie. I'm not saying there are not some areas in your life that need to grow, that need to change. But it starts with this. I go back to this. You either belong to him or you don't. And you only belong to him first and foremost by putting your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The enemy wants you to think that you're an imposter. If he can convince people they're an imposter, their eyes never open up, truly opened up to what God wants to do in their lives. They never really opened up to God, how God would want to use them in the areas that he wants to use them. They'll keep their eyes shut because they'll believe a lie. They'll be like that newborn. I hear voices. They'll hear God's voice sometimes, beckoning and calling him, but they'll never see the purpose for him. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff right there. Next point on that, set our minds on things. How we do to activate our faith, a good confession, knowing that he wants to lead and bless us. The next one is pursue Christ with all your heart. For every detail of your life, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It says it'll be health for your bones. It says that your barns will be filled. Amen. He'll bless you. I didn't say it. He did. Amen. Pursue Christ with all your heart, meaning this is, Lord, I belong to you. I'm pursuing you that my eyes will continue to be open more and more and more. As he begins to open your eyes, the things of this world that try to drag you down, you begin to say, no, no more of that. I'm keeping my focus in on him. I'm seeing him more and more clearly over time. I don't want everything in this world that would try to close my eyes, meaning getting focused on those things. Let me read this other scripture and just a few more points before we go. This is an amazing scripture. Hebrews 5:7-9. Hebrews 5:7-9. This is talking about Jesus. In the days of his humanity, whose humanity? Jesus. He offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one who's able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his devout behavior. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Who was Jesus? Now he learned what? He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. He never did anything wrong. He never sowed one bad thing. This is the point of that right here. Is people would come against him. People would try to convince him that he's not God. The enemy would come against him. This is what he did. He just continued to not believe, just like you and I. He continued to not, through his whole lifetime, not believe the lies of the enemy. And as he suffered those things, he said, I'm not going to believe those things. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says about me. Here's the truth of the matter that's amazing. The same, I said this Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again. You know how Jesus learned who he was? Through the Word of God. As he was reading that Word, God was saying, that's you, boy. You're going to save them from their sins. That's you. Yeah, but I got this whole crowd saying I'm a liar and a thief. Who are you going to believe? You believe me, son. Believe what I said about you in the written word. This is you. You're going to save them from their sins. You are going to be given a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And it's the same thing of you. As you're pressing into him, as you're pressing into the Word of God, the Spirit of God's going to say to you, that's you, boy. I'm talking about you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know you got some struggles. I know you're going through things, but that's you. You're my son, and you need to decide to believe what the Word of God says, because I want to continue to open your eyes so that you see me more and more clearly. Jesus, he learned things through the things that he suffered, and some of the things that maybe you suffered, this is what you need to believe, that God is with you. He's not against you. And to ask him to open your eyes so you can see him more clearly. Let me just say this. Here's a few more things. Here is the lie of the enemy. Where is God during struggles or pain? Jesus went through all those pains and struggles. But he kept saying, Lord, nope, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. It doesn't look good, Father. I'm looking at everything that's coming against me. I'm weary. He said he'd get weary in his own flesh. But I'm going to trust you. It says, with loud cries and tears, he cried out to the one who is able to save him from death. And this is what I think that means. As he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, they beat him to a pulp. Man, it's amazing that he even made it to the cross before he died. He saw everything that he was going to have to go through with loud cries and tears. He said, God, man, I don't want to die. I want to finish my course. You know, sometimes you and I, we got to become desperate enough that we cry out to God and say, Lord, I want to finish my course. Lord, I don't want to stumble in any way, shape, or form. If Jesus, the Son of God, amen, the Son of God, please offered up both prayers and pleas with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, then how about you and I when we cry out to the Lord? Let me just say this. If you're going through struggles and pain, this is what I've learned in my short 57 years on this earth. I continue to cry out to him and say, Lord, thank you for your strength. Thank you for being my righteousness. Thank you for continuing to change some things in my life that just can't seem to get right. Lord, thank you, Father, for never leaving me, forsaking me. I begin to cry out to him, and this is the same thing I'm learning as I do, that he begins to open my eyes more and more to what's going on around me. He opens my eyes spiritually. I begin to see things like he sees them. So if you're going through some pains and struggles right now, can I say these few things? Keep pursuing Christ in prayer and worship. Keep pursuing him. You know, I'll meet with people that are going through difficult times. You know, I'll be talking about the things of God and everything, but I'm not discounting it, but it keeps coming back to this. Yeah, but what about my pain? Yeah, but what about my pain? But see, I'm what about this pain I'm going through? Let me tell you this, that God sees that pain. Keep pursuing Christ in prayer and worship. Keep looking for comfort in his word. He wants to speak to you in his word. Keep seeking him for comfort. So many people will get into pain and then we'll go out and sow to the flesh, try to kill that pain with the things in the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure most of us have experienced that. But what he wants us to do by his Holy Spirit to go to him and say, Lord, bring comfort to that pain. Keep pursuing him. Keep going to him and say, Lord, lead and guide me. Bring comfort to that pain. He wants to bring comfort to that pain. But many people go a different route. And even if you've done that route, let me just tell you this, he's still there. Just come on back. He wants to be your comfort. Amen. Come back and say, Lord, I want you to open my eyes. Keep looking for comfort in his word. Do not complain. Sometimes when we're in the middle of some pain, I know this seems maybe insensitive to me, but we can be in some areas where you might be in a situation, a trial of your life. You might be sick and praying for God to heal your body, different things, a relationship. Things may be going on in your life, but this is one thing I've learned, is like, I don't want to have a heart and attitude of complaining. Man, because what it does is it keeps my eyes closed. My complaining, what it does is it keeps me just focused on me and I'm not looking to him. So what I've learned to do, am I perfect at it? Not in any way, shape, or form. Getting more better, though, as I begin to just worship, say, thank you, Lord, in that situation. Thank you. Thank you for turning this around. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, that you got me by the hand. Thank you that you're leading and guiding me. Thank you for revealing who you are to me, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all the mercy in my life. He begins to reveal, open your eyes and see all the attributes of God. Let me just say this. Thank him for bringing you out of pain into purpose. Let me just say, I didn't give this to you, John. If you don't, let me just read this. You might be going through some areas of pain in your life. And these people I'll meet with, and I'll be talking about those things. I'll say, yeah, but what about the pain? What about the pain of a broken relationship, or you're praying and seeking God to heal your body? And can he bring purpose out of some of these tragedies in people's lives? He'll bring purpose out of each and every one of them. Do you think that Joseph spent 13 years in prison for nothing? How about the pain that caused him not to see his father for 13 years? What about that pain? But God is able to turn these things around. I want to take you to Romans 8. Can you just listen to these as I say, these are some of my last words for today's sermon. Amen. Romans 8, I'm going to start at verse 28. Hear these. And we know that God causes all things to work together. How many things? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Is that you? It's either yes or no. It's not in between. It's either yes or no. Verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Means you're growing up in him. Amen. So that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. How many brothers and sisters do I have here? Hallelujah. And these whom he predestined, he also called. How many called do we have here? You're either called or you're not. You are called if you know him. Amen. And these whom he called, he also justified. Amen. Are you glad you're justified? As if you just never sin. You never sin. You're justified. Amen. That's shouting material right there. Hallelujah. He justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Let's continue. But what then shall we say to these? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Can you say all things?
All things.
Who will bring charges against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Amen. Are you glad he's interceding for you? Then it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or trouble? Are you having any troubles or tribulations? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Let me finish this up. But this is what I love. This is, Lord, help us to believe this morning. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Overwhelmingly. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. As Gina comes, can you stand up with me? You're probably ready to stand up. And amen. You're ready to stand up? Let me just say this as I was preparing this morning. This is where the Lord really had me focused on, is pain. In a world, in a society where there is so much pain. And it seems like sometimes maybe you might be dealing with pain that just won't ever go away. This is what I've learned. Even in God dealing with, you know, we all can, different things of pains in life, struggles, if that's you, is if you'll focus on him, if you'll focus on him and pursue him and say, Lord, I give it all to you. He will turn that pain around and do something mighty. I don't know. He's the one that knows. But what happens is people will just put their focus on that pain, whatever it is in their life. And their eyes never get open in that area. Well, God is saying, even in that middle of that, here's what I love about Joseph, who was thrown in a pit to die, sold to slavery by all his brothers. And for 13 years, approximately, his dad thought he was dead, and his brothers just act like, no big deal. And when he saw, after those 13 years of that pain, he sees his brothers, and he has to leave the room to weep. Right then, he could have said, lock them up, remove their heads. What did that situation do for Joseph? It prepared him to be number two in all of Egypt. So whatever you're going through, this is what you do. You give that to God. You pursue Him, and you watch Him. I don't know how long it takes, but you watch Him turn those things around for His glory. As He will open your eyes, you open your eyes, and then the things that He reveals to you, revelation and truth, you wouldn't trade that for anything in this world. You wouldn't trade that for nothing that the devil can give you, so to speak. You wouldn't trade that for nothing, because God has revealed and showed you things. So this is the thing. If this is what I'm saying here, when you have those pain and you say, Lord Jesus, I give that to you. I give my life to you. And I thank you that where I'm at right now shall not remain. But Lord, by your Holy Spirit, through time, through circumstances, by focusing on Him, God will surely bring healing in every area of your life. I don't know about you, but I raise my hands. I say, Lord, I receive that. Maybe just say, see, Lord, open my eyes. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, open my eyes in every area, Father, areas in my life that need to be opened. Father, thank you for opening those, Lord. Areas where I've been focusing maybe on the wrong thing, Lord, Lord, those things are real in my life. But Father, I focus on you, and I give those things to you. And I say, Lord Jesus, spiritually begin to open my eyes in those areas where they're blind, Father God. Lord, thank you for salve in those areas, what he was talking about, the church in Revelation. And he says, here, take this salve so you can see. Lord, give us your salve, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so we can see in those areas of our lives, Father God, that we might be blind. Father, how we love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. If you need prayer this morning, I would encourage you to come up for prayer. If there's an area that you need somebody to agree with you on, let us agree with you. Or maybe just right there, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, amen, in an area, and you say, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I got off track, but I'm back on track, and I'm putting my eyes back on you. And thank you, Father, for giving me spiritual eyes, seeking those things which are above. Hallelujah. Seeking those things which are above. And so, Father, with that, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. Do you love him? Isn't Jesus good? Isn't our Father good? Aren't you glad he never leaves us or forsakes us? Aren't you glad that he's patient towards us? Lord, thank you for eyes to see. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.